Okay, so good morning. Thank you for being here, coming along this morning. Stacey says we've started a new series on Sunday mornings called Encounter, which he introduced last week. If you can't remember, or just for those that weren't here, the basic premise of it is this, and what I'm going to say next in no way underestimates or underplays the stuff we've been talking about being on our front line in our normal places of work. But if I want to go to a meeting where we talk about the same things, but nothing much really happens, but you get a fine set of minutes with action points at the end of it, the sort of meeting I would go to would have been the Monday meetings that I went to for years of my life in the Office for National Statistics. But if I want to gather somewhere that gets a little bit crazy and a little bit dangerous, where I meet with fellow people who are journeying with me in faith, but above all I'll meet with God and his risen son Jesus, where I can see people healed, where I can feel challenged and my life will change, where I want to listen to the prophetic and take a step out for Jesus as a result of what he's speaking into my life as an individual and our life corporately, if I want to lose myself in passionate worship, jump up and dance, spin around, or even if I have those moments where I just want to be quiet and sit down and kneel on my knees and hear God's gentle voice speak into me, then church is a place to come rather than the Monday morning meeting for the Office for National Statistics. So essentially, in a nutshell, that's what this whole series is about. It's lovely to come and sit in our fine chairs and to have a lovely time and to feel blessed and to catch up with people. But when we meet together, it's meant to be more than that. It's meant to be an encounter with a living, transformational Son of God who wants to do amazing things in our life as individuals and as church. He wants to meet our deepest needs. He wants to heal our hurts. He wants to be in our pain, and he loves it when we celebrate and we wave flags and we sing in tongues and all that kind of stuff. So that is the background to the whole series of Encounter. This morning, because it's communion, I want to talk about how we can encounter God in some of those ways through communion. And the main reading comes from Luke 22, starting at verse 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. And then a little bit from 1 Corinthians, which is often a passage that people read during a communion service. And this is Paul's teaching, not that Paul, the older Paul's teaching, on the Lord's Supper. So just a few verses from here. "I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup." And then it goes on again to repeat much of Luke's passage in Luke 22. In Advent of 2014, Pope Francis gathered together loads of young Catholics from across the world. And amongst some of the things he said to them, he said this: "The most important thing that can happen to a person is to encounter Jesus, who loves us, who has saved us, and who has given his life for us. The most important thing that can happen to a person is that they encounter Jesus, who loves us, who has saved us, and who has gave his life for us. And when we see those words from Pope Francis, and we put them alongside communion, and that space that we share for them, for communion, and we're going to share it later on this morning, what better place, what better symbol is there to encounter a Jesus who loved us and saved us and gave his life for us than through communion? Communion is a place for us to encounter that Jesus, to meet with him. In some way, during communion, it's as if the distance between God and humanity has been sort of reduced and shrunk down. Now, it might be a bit strange to start off a talk about communion in a Baptist church by quoting Pope Francis. But at its heart, he's talking about an encounter with Jesus. And through communion, that is a way that we can encounter in Jesus. Not in the way that Pope Francis might go on to suggest in a Catholic church, but it's a way in which that distance is shrunk. The word communion means sharing. It means common unity. It means spending time in the presence of others in the deep way. It's something that Jesus did and something that Jesus said we should do together. But it's a place where we should be able to dwell in the presence of Jesus. It's the place where we should be able to dwell as the body of Christ and listen to his voice in our life. At its heart, communion is relational. It's about that intimate relationship that we have with the Son of God. And it's about that relationship and that journey of faith that we share together. Relationships are about being in the company of others, and relationships are about encounters. In any relationship, we need to create time to be together in order for that relationship to go. And communion is that space where we set aside time to have that relationship with Jesus to enable us to grow. It's a deliberate setting aside a time with each other and with God in a way that allows us to reflect and to hear his voice. You hear a lot these days about ministering to the whole person or being the whole human being. And when we think about our body, our mind and our spirit, and we think about communion, it ministers to our whole being. If we think about our body, we do something. We will sit, we will stand, we will kneel. We will physically eat bread. We will physically drink wine, or in this place, wine substitute. We will be still and we will reflect. We use our bodies as part of taking part in communion. We use our mind. We think of ourselves. We think of Jesus. We think of what he did and what it means for us. We think of others. We reflect. We meditate. And we use that space to encounter Jesus with our mind. And spiritually, we commune with God. We pray to him. We listen to him. And we feel his presence. So our encounter with Jesus in communion is physical, it is mental, and it is spiritual. It involves all of who we are. And yes, I'm conscious that I haven't mentioned the word soul yet. The difficulty, though, is this. As well as being a place where we gather together to share communion together as the body of Christ, it can also be an intensely individual encounter with Jesus as well. Because it's that time when we set aside a bit of space and we can respond to it in individual ways. So this gives me a bit of a problem, because I'm not able to stand up here and say that when we gather together, if we do communion, if we do X, Y and Z, then A, B and C is going to be what happens to every single one of us during communion, because we are all unique individuals. Although there's something powerful in the body of Christ sharing in communion in this way, it's also something intensely individual. So rather than just give a whole set of theoretical stuff in ways in which we can encounter God this morning, I spoke to a number of you in the church this morning, before this morning, and said, how do you encounter God in communion? What does communion mean for you? If I'm going to stand up and talk about stuff, I want it to be real. I want it to be things that people in this fellowship experience as an encounter with God during communion. The first person I spoke to myself, which is not the best way sometimes to get a common sense answer out of anybody. Because for me, Communion often is, and it often is, for me, a friendship encounter with God. There's two things I often feel about the presence of God in communion when I share and take it. And the first is this. In some way, I feel as if I'm sitting around the table with those disciples in Jesus. It's almost as if I'm taken back into that room. And I'm one of his closest friends. And I'm reclining at the table and I'm eating food just alongside the rest of the disciples. And it's an intimate space. And Jesus starts to share and he breaks into it. And Jesus talks to me. He talks to me and I hear his voice in an inner voice quite regularly in communion. But as a friend, I encounter his friendship as communion. And it can be a very, very real experience for me in that way. And maybe you encounter Jesus in that way during communion. But the second thing that happens to me is that often, you know, when you look at the universe and you look at all the stars and all the rest of it, it's almost as if all of that greatness goes thump and it's down into that kind of like single point and that one point in history. And I feel part of that long, unending chain of people who have known Jesus all of their life and will know Jesus. I feel part of that, in that moment, of that big piece of history. So in communion, I encounter a God of two extremes. I encounter the intimate Jesus who loves me and shares his life with me and invites me to eat with him. Just as if he was a guest in my own home in 114 Oakleys Road. But I also encounter the amazing God of history and being part of something much bigger. They are the two ways I would say is most common that I encounter God in communion. For others that I've spoken to, they've gone straight to that bit in 1 Corinthians 11. And they find that the encounter with Jesus at communion is a challenging encounter, where we are called to examine ourselves. Paul said, examine yourself. Examine yourself before you eat. And this is where the crazy bit and the dangerous bit about loving God and knowing God comes in. This is where the transformational bit about having Jesus as part of your life comes in. Because we can be so comfortable and so happy and so kind of relaxed that sometimes we don't step back and take a look at our life. And communion, Paul says, is a place where you can do that. It's a place where God will nudge you and ask you to examine yourself and have a look at where we're going. Open ourselves up to the scrutiny of our loving God and see what difference it can make to us. So we examine our attitudes. The attitude of Jesus at communion never ceases to blow my mind, because knowing exactly what it meant and what was to come, he actually gave thanks to God when he broke the bread and he broke the wine. His attitude was one of thanksgiving, despite everything that he was going through. We go through a lot of stuff in life, lots of it unpleasant and not nice. The challenge at communion is our attitude also one of thanksgiving? Is it the same as Jesus? We examine our actions. There's that moment, isn't there, in Luke, when Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me. The actions of Jesus, the actions of Judas was to betray Jesus. I'm not suggesting that anyone in this building this morning is going to set out to betray Jesus, but it's good to have a look at our actions and how we're living for him. And we also examine our affections. Jesus said, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you. The literal translation of that is actually, I have desired with desire. His affections for the people he loved was this deep-rooted, deep-seated desire. He desired to share this meal with us. Where are our affections? Are they that strong? Do we have that desire to share life with each other on our journey? Do we have that desire to let Jesus know us and change us and mold us? Do we have that desire to hear Jesus' voice speak into our life? Do we have that desire to change where we need to change? So we examine our attitudes, our affections, and our desires. For other people that I've spoken to, communion can be an intensely emotional encounter. And now, sometimes it takes a while to tap into my emotions. But when I do get emotional, boy, I tend to go for it 100%. And we can be afraid of our emotions, but God has made us, all that we are, and that includes our emotions. So don't be afraid to be emotional. For some people, as they think about communion representing the death of Jesus on the cross and his agony and his pain and his separation from God, everything that he went through physically, mentally and spiritually, that whole body experience again on the cross, it can become intensely emotional to each one of us. You did that for me? You did that for Mike? Wow. You know, if you see somebody who you love and who loves you go through something really hard in their life, doesn't it make you want to well up? Doesn't it make you want to cry? Doesn't it tap into your emotions? Isn't that something about the encounter with Jesus at communion? Some people I've spoken to in this building, they do, they cry during communion because of the emotional encounter with the God who gave everything for them. So can we encounter Jesus emotionally. I guess I could have put this one in the same category, but other people spoke to me about hope. And you could say that hope is an emotional thing as well. But the communion, and when we share communion, is a place where we encounter a God of hope and hope in our life. There's that bit that yes, we hope because it didn't end there on the cross. Jesus rose again. There's the hope that Jesus speaks, he's going to come again. I will not drink this cup, he says, until my kingdom is established. We know that Jesus is going to come again. So communion is a place in which hope is found. Hope is found in the bread and hope is found in the cup. Now there are people in this world who will say that we are people who should have no hope because Christianity is dead and it died with this bloke 2,000 odd years ago who died on a cross and he didn't rise again. It's a hopeless religion to follow, some people will say. But it's not. Jesus is the place where all hope is found. And I know I've said something like this before. If I thought that being born into this world and living however many years I am going to live and then I'm going to die and then that's it. Nothing remains of me apart from the mess that I've made in my life throughout the work. I would find this life totally and utterly hopeless. Who would want to live a life like that? Grasping any pleasure you can, where you can, but ultimately that's it. When you die, it's gone. We have a God of hope, and that hope is found in communion. That hope is found because when we meet together, we encounter a God of hope, and we encounter a Son who rose from the dead and who one day will come again. And because he rose from the dead, he is alive today, and he's with us here today, and that's why we can encounter him. And then my final thought when I was talking to other people about how we encounter Jesus at communion is this. Although the bread and the wine remind us of the physical body of Christ, it also reminds us that we are one body because we share the one bread, as they say in the Anglican communion service. It is, although it's intensely individual, it is also something we do together as the body of Christ. We share it together. So we encounter Jesus through each one of us as we do so. It's an expression of shared life together and of service to one another. Visibly and practically, this can be seen in the way we do it in this church. In a moment, David will call for volunteers to come and share the bread and the wine with us. That is a visible expression that we are the body of Christ. You don't have to be priested or a lay preacher to come and to take the cup and the bread round to everybody. We're all a royal priesthood. The way we do it here with the bread is we ask you to pass it round to the next person, to minister to them. It's part of that. So physically, the way we do things or choose to do things in this place is a representation that we are the body of Christ, ministering to each other, supporting each other, sharing the joys and the sorrows, and being real with each other. But more, perhaps, than just serving bread and wine together, it's a natural place to pray for each other, to wait on God, to give space for the Holy Spirit to move, to share prophetic words, to minister in the power of the Spirit. If communion is a place where we encounter Jesus, then it's a deliberate setting aside of time and space to encounter Jesus through those things. So through my conversations with others, sharing how we can encounter God through communion, I hope that God has stirred a level of expectancy within you. That this thing that we do once a month on a Sunday morning can be a special thing because we set out intentionally to create a space and a place where we can encounter Jesus in a number of ways. Communion is not an empty traditional ritual, however anybody does it. If anybody walked into church this morning with absolutely no idea what church was like and saw us sitting around pulling little pieces of bread off of a slightly stale loaf, it might not be slightly stale, but of a loaf, and eating tiny bits of bread and drinking stuff that isn't really wine out of tiny little plastic cups, sitting there in silence, accompanied only by the whizzing of the fans as they tried to cool the place down, they would think they've wandered into some slightly strange Masonic secret society. That's not what we want communion to be. We do communion to give us space for God's Holy Spirit to minister to us and for us to minister to ourselves. We do communion because, not just because Jesus told us to, but because we want to in some way be around that table with him in the same way as his disciples, to hear his voice speak to us, to see the Holy Spirit move amongst us, to feel his gentle prodding challenge in our life, to make us feel emotional and stir us up, and to fill us with the hope that there is something more to this life than this. It's about the gathered community encountering a transformational Son of God in a real way with body, mind and spirit. It's about being totally sold out for the one who is totally sold out for us. Let's pray. Father God, our desire, my desire above all, is to meet that transformational, living, life-changing, hope-giving, emotion-stirring Son of yours when we meet together, as well as on my front line during the week. Lord, our expectation is when we gather together, there's something powerful, something amazing, crazy and dangerous that can happen. So, Lord, we ask that as we come to share the bread and the wine now, that we create the space for you to speak to us and be real to us. That we would expect to hear your voice, both that inner voice talking to us as individually, but also as a spoken word, maybe through others as we share your word and you speak into our life corporately. And Lord, help us not to be afraid of our emotions. Thank you for giving them to us. And Lord, we consciously open up our life and we examine ourselves as well. We examine our affections and our attitudes. But Lord, we want to be real with you. This morning, but not just this morning. Every time we meet, we want to be honest and real and open to you. So Lord, come by your Holy Spirit as we move on in this place. Amen.